Welcome to Big Billy Kender Outdoors, presented by the Dallas Safari Club. When we're not in the great outdoors, we're thinking about it. Come on into the camp house and make yourself at home.
Make plans now to join us at the DSC Convention and Expo, Heritage, January 9 through 12. Heritage, one of the biggest conservation gatherings on earth. BigGame.org.
Here in Texas, where I live, it is a big, big day. It's the opening day of the general deer season for 2019. Months of planning and anticipation and thousands of trail cam photos in hopes that that big boy just might show himself today. You never know. The acorns have been falling, the spot where I hunt, and that has pulled my deer away from my cameras over the past couple of weeks. They were coming in hard and heavy prior to that. But we've had a couple of wet weeks that rots acorns. We've had some cold weather, even freezing weather this week. That's hard on those acorns, too. Hope abounds, as usual. Welcome to the Camp House at Big Billy Kender Outdoors. Front door to the Camp House brought to you by Calming Care from the trusted name Purina. Calming Care is a probiotic for your dog that also very gently, naturally, over time, calms the overactive dog, the overjumper, the overbarker. If that's your dog, talk to your vet about Calming Care. I know there in your deer camp, there's probably some really good cooking going on right now. You're studying those topo maps and probably some high-energy storytelling happening there at your place as well. The excitement is thick. It's opening day. It's early, and you're tired. You're tired because just like so many other nights before opening day, you couldn't get to sleep. When you finally did, it didn't last long, and you woke up repeatedly, looking at that clock. Then somehow you finally drifted off for a couple of hours, and startled yourself, scrambling to check the time and hoping that you hadn't missed the alarm. Finally, you just gave up, turned off an unused alarm clock, and dressed in camo, in the shine of a flashlight, so that you wouldn't disturb the other guys. You were proud of yourself for having the coffee ready for the others by the time they got around. Topo maps had danced in all of your heads in brief dreams during the night, just like those legendary sugar plums at Christmas time. A little breakfast, a little jousting with camp buddies, and last-minute plans. Who's riding with who? What time do you want to be picked up at your stand? When you hear me shoot, give me 1 hour and then bring the pickup. Billy said sun rises at 7:48, so I want to be in my stand by 6:30. Backstrap tonight. That magical sunrise that you've anticipated since back in January. That's when the door last creaked shut on venison opportunities. You thought about it all summer when you'd come out to mow around camp or run the wasps out of the blinds or protein your wildlife or maybe just drop a howdy gift off to your rancher. You planned for this morning all year long and can't believe it now. With all of that planning and forethought, your smart wool socks didn't make the trip. One more cup of coffee, then it's time to collect the tools of your heritage that you'll carry out in the field today. It might be that brand new rifle and scope, painstakingly sighted to pinpoint your quarry. Or it could be Grandpa's old bolt action that killed most of his deer, all of your dad's, and now it's been passed on to you to keep in step with the family tradition. Whether you're 14 or 74, first trip to deer camp or opening day golden anniversary, we all share that same anticipation. What lies ahead today? Will you make up for the blunder that spooked off old Roman Nose last year? Or will you build upon your legend of always having the knack of tagging the big guy? Today is like an unwrapped Christmas gift that slowly and breathlessly will unpackage itself before our very eyes. It's opening day. Take the time to recognize that The gift itself is the freedom to carry Grandpa's gun to a treasured old haunt and watching God's glory light up your view in the quiet of a Montana coulee or a prickly pear pasture. Take the time to realize that we are blessed. Thank you, Lord, that I am part of something special. You and I are hunters, and it's opening day. Just like forgetting those nice warm socks when you thought you had planned on everything, there are other things that we need to be mindful of today, too. Our Texas game wardens came up with the top five list of the most common deer hunting violations. Here they are, starting at number five and working our way up to number one. Improperly tagged deer. You cannot use a buck tag on a doe. You cannot use someone else's tag. Number four. Untagged deer. Number three, incorrect or no hunting harvest log. Number two, no hunting license at all. And the number one deer hunting violation, no proof of hunter education. It's required of every Texas hunter born after September 1st of 1971. I know we reach across the United States and Canada, and your rules will differ for your state.
Folks, this is Larry Whitesoo, Mr. Whitetail. You know, boys, I had to go all the way to New Zealand to shoot that stag. I wish you'd quit hanging your hats on him.
This is Jim Shockey.
I'm Craig Boddington.
This is Jim Zumbo.
Join me, Mr. Whitetail, Larry Whitesoon, at the Dallas Safari Club Convention and Expo. I look forward to shaking your hand there this January.
With a who's who lineup on stage to answer your questions, surrounded by more than 1,800 exhibits featuring outdoor apparel and gear, artwork, jewelers, custom guns and knives, the finest licensed guides and DSC-approved outfitters from around the globe, free seminars, and world-class banquets with celebrity guests and speakers, DSC's Convention and Expo, January 9th through the 12th, is a must-see for outdoors men and women. The whole family will love the incredible taxidermy displays, and the auctions are the biggest and best, built specifically for the outdoors enthusiast. The best part, your ticket cost, the auction bid, the money spent at DSC's Convention and Expo will be spent wisely on conservation matters at home and around the globe. Please come to DSC's Convention and Expo at the K. Bailey Hutchison Convention Center in Dallas, January 9th through the 12th. Learn more at biggame.org.
This is Travis Mears with Defender Outdoors, Clay Sports Ranch, Fort Worth's premier shotgun range. Conveniently located on West Loop 820, we're minutes from anywhere in the Westaplex. Do you need to raise funds for a local charity, or would you like to get your customers and clients together? We specialize in hosting events that do just that. Sporting Clay is the new golf, and we want to be your event destination. Offering two 12-station Sporting Clay courses, the largest five-stand in Texas, and a spacious event pavilion, lean on us to get your group together. Shotgun shooting open to the public or with a membership. Find all the details at DefenderOutdoors.com.
The Jacksboro Chamber of Commerce welcomes you to the 2019 Chili Fest and Outdoor Expo on the downtown square. Jacksboro and Jack County are famous for top-notch hunting, and we're celebrating that heritage with a chili cook-off, activities for the kids, vendors, and even a perfect pie contest. After your successful hunt on opening day, November 2nd, come on down to the Courthouse Square for free chili and all the fixins from 4 till 8 p.m. Deer season and opening day at Chili Fest in Jacksboro, Texas. That's a perfect day.
Every animal that has ever roamed this planet was designed as hunted or hunter, predator or prey. We are hunters. If it were ever necessary, even the strictest vegan would return to the wild, driven to survive by the instincts of his ancestors. Those who hide behind the soft delusion of their own ignorance do so from within a civilization whose very being costs the lives of countless creatures every single day. Death is an undeniable fuel of life. This is the undeniable truth of existence. To live in balance with the planet that sustains us, we must admit and embrace the nature within us. Trust the hunter in your blood.
After spending a few days at Joshua Creek Ranch, I describe it as a sportsman's nirvana.
We love creating a unique experience for each of our guests. You know, the interests can vary here from wing shooting to deer hunting to fly fishing to river kayaking. So we have a great variety of guests, and we like for them to enjoy everything we have to offer.
As I enjoyed the birth of a new day over the rolling hill country ranch that is Joshua Creek, I was amazed at the wildlife, quail, pheasants, native white-tailed deer, trophy class axis deer.
We've worked hard on the habitat, planted improved grasses, really with the help of some wildlife biologists, studied what would make the best habitat to keep our game here.
Mm-hmm. We can hunt easily 6, 7, 8 groups, and we don't try to do it on 40 acres. I mean, right. These people get to walk. They get to see some country.
Joe and Ann Kirchival invite you to enjoy this free-range ranch just northwest of San Antonio. Visit joshuacreek.com.
Come in off the porch. Big Billy Kinder Outdoors is back. Partners with the Dallas Safari Club.
Thousands of kids and parents enjoy the outdoors today because we took the time to teach them yesterday. We are the DSC, and we are at biggame.org.
They're doing a great job of getting the kids involved up in Minnesota. This is a great story. Nearly 5,700 youth deer hunters harvested a deer during the Department of Natural Resources' first statewide youth season, October 17 through 20. Barbara Keller is the big game program leader for the Minnesota Department of Natural Resources, and she's right when she says positive early hunting experiences go a long way towards starting or continuing a rewarding fall tradition. Before opening day of Minnesota's first statewide youth deer hunting season, 21,211 youth licenses had been purchased. That's up more than 50% from last year at the same time. And after the first day of the season, the total increased to 27,960, almost 28,000 youth licenses. And get this, 7,896 of those licenses purchased through the youth season were for first-time deer hunters, license holders. Good job, Minnesota. Congratulations on getting the kids involved. That's awesome. Fortiflora is a canine probiotic. And boy, it's really exactly what your dog needs after a hard day chasing quail today, or maybe those blue grouse up and down those hills. Fortiflora, safe enough to give every day, safe enough for weaning puppies. Order it from Chewy.com. It is so very important that we get the kids involved in the outdoors. Take them with you when you go to the deer blind. Be sensitive to their needs throughout the day. Show them what it's all about. My friends at the Outdoors Tomorrow Foundation do a tremendous job of getting the next generation into the outdoors. They responded in a big way at the OTF to a study that came out in 2015 that told us that teens spend an average of 9 hours per day connected to some kind of a screen, a television, a computer, a cell phone. 9 hours a day. The OTF is doing something about that. Here's the executive director of the Outdoors Tomorrow Foundation, Sean McClellan. Sean, welcome back to the show. For folks that don't know, tell us about the OTF. What do you guys do?
And we have a life-changing outdoor education curriculum called Outdoor Adventures. And we implement outdoor education in schools. Tell you what, Billy, we're now in over 35 states. We hit here last month the 500th school mark, which is just incredible. But we're affecting the lives of over 50,000 kids across those 35 states.
It's amazing. It's just amazing. When I heard the number of schools, I called Scott McClure with the OTF last month and told him congratulations, and we talked about it on the air a little bit about what a major milestone that is. And now I have before me the very latest and greatest information, I thought, that said 34 states. I get you on the phone and it's already clicked again up to 35. You guys are spreading like wildfire across the U.S. And that's great to see. Teaching outdoors in our schools for earned curriculum for the kids. What a great idea.
It's incredible. You know, it's a two-semester curriculum. And it teaches everything from hunter education, which is a 20-hour part of that course. And for places, maybe not so much West Texas, but here on DFW and a lot of the other states we're in, where you have a lot of lakes, it teaches boater safety, and actually get a boater safety card as part of that. And depending on which state you're in, you're getting that from your state agency that we partner with. That's really special. And the other one, too, that we just love is archery, which are thousands and thousands of kids are joining archery programs, archery teams. Through the Outdoor Adventures class. So they're learning it conceptually. They're learning the safety of it, learning the program, and they're going on and doing that. And Billy, too, I wanted to tell you, was just so special. We got a story from Pasadena Memorial High School in and around Houston. Little girl's name is Avery Speaks. She was on the news here recently. She was actually a cancer survivor and came from joining the Outdoor Adventures class after being a cancer survivor, found out about competitive archery. And not only did she just join the archery team and just shooting bullseye, but one of our favorite parts of that too, she's actually there shooting 3D foam animal targets. It's just as a part of the program through the National Archery in Schools program. But it goes to show you, the outdoors doesn't have any bias. You know, whether you're playing sports, you're not playing sports, or any kind of walk of life that you're coming from, this program speaks to every kind of student, and everyone has the opportunity to participate through Outdoor Adventures.
Yeah, and you know, I know a lot of people are thinking, oh, okay, this is great for those schools in small farm towns and rural areas. Not so. This thing is a huge success in some of the biggest metropolitan areas across the country and has spread. It's not just a West Texas high school thing. It's spread all the way across the U.S. Huge numbers of kids coming out in various schools across the country.
It absolutely is. And tell you one that we just love. Our 500 school actually came from New York, which is pretty fantastic. You just wouldn't. You know, you wouldn't immediately think of New York and the outdoors and that, but there are actually a lot of folks that just absolutely love their kids being a part of the program and getting involved in that too. And with that, the program actually lends after the first year has about a 30% growth rate per school, and a lot of schools just as it replacing PE or as an elective. Actually have waiting lists after the first year to try and just get into the class because the kids love it so much.
If folks want to get this started in their local schools, and I beat on this all the time, and I know folks, you've heard me talk about the Outdoors Tomorrow Foundation many times, but we're not going to stop. This is important to our youth. If folks want to get it started in their schools, what can they do, Sean?
Please reach out to us at gootf.com.
Just that
if you know an administrator, a superintendent, any curriculum coordinators, please reach out to us and connect us with them. We'd love to have it in those schools, anywhere that we're not. I would love to be a part of those. And with that, since inception here, we've given over $370,000 in equipment grants to schools, which is just critical for getting them the equipment they need to be able to teach the class. So
yeah.
Just getting the curriculum, we're able to do that too with fishing poles and any of the other equipment that particular school needs or wants.
Yeah, and I know that you can't do that without some strong partners, and you've had some great ones through the years and still do. Cabela's Outdoor Fun, Bass Pro Shops, and who are some of the other folks?
Oh, we have incredible support from the Dallas Safari Club, from Park City's Quail, Grand Slam Ovis Club, just to name a few.
Yeah, lots of really important partners that understand the future of conservation, and conservationists is very, very important. You guys have actually seen behavior, student behavior, improve, documented as a result of this class.
Oh, absolutely, and not only that, improved attendance. And if you, you know, look at the cross-section of students that are just individually taking Outdoor Adventures, scholastically, they improve as well. So not only does it improve attendance and they're doing better in school, but also gives them an amazing set of skills that they're able to pass on to their family, brothers, sisters, and parents, get everyone outdoors just as a part of learning these incredible outdoor skills.
You betcha. Sean McClellan, Executive Director of the Outdoors Tomorrow Foundation. Thanks, as always, Sean, for the time and for the awesome work that you guys do in our schools.
Oh, Billy, thank you so much. And make sure and come visit us at GoOTF.com.
Or come see me at BBKORadio.com, and we've got a link there for you to the Outdoors Tomorrow Foundation. Hey, do you want to know how old that deer you're looking at really is? Two of the best to ever age a white-tailed deer join me next.
This is Eddie Salter, and when I'm not in the great outdoors, I'm thinking about it with Big Billy Kinder Outdoors.
You've never seen a more complete archery and event center than Cinnamon Creek Ranch. It's world class. There's nothing else like it anywhere.
We offer a chance for archers to come and shoot indoors. We have 10 yards, 20 yards, 30 yards. You can shoot 40 yards in here. We have a conference room upstairs. We have several companies that come here and do their monthly meetings, business network meetings. We have the facilities for that. We also have a full kitchen. We can cater lunch for you. We do a lot of different team building events for corporate outings. When you're out on the golf course in a corporate outing, you're spending time with three other people for 4.5 hours. We're here, a company comes out and they've got 30 or 40 employees. They're all able to hang out together and just relax and have a good time. It's our job to make sure that that happens.
A fresh new approach to corporate outings, and your kids have never had this much fun at a birthday party. Learn a lot more when you come visit us at CinnamonCreekRanch.com. CinnamonCreekRanch.com.
The Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation salutes hunters for the role they play in providing critical funding for conservation. Funds generated by hunting licenses and fees, excise taxes on hunting gear, and donations to groups like RMEF generate funds that fuel land and wildlife conservation efforts from coast to coast. Celebrate how hunting is conservation at our annual fundraising banquet and auction. Be ensuring the future of elk, other wildlife, their habitat, and our hunting heritage.
Since 2003, Bended Knee International has answered the call to take the good news of Jesus Christ and the hope of the gospel to the Navajo Nation and the people of Siberia. Many have never heard the simple but magnificent message that Christ is God, who loves us so much that he died for our sins, defeated death, and rose again. The simple message of salvation brings the gift of eternal life if we'll only believe it. I am Tom Watson, president of Bended Knee International. Learn more about Bended Knee at bendedknee.org.
Do you love to feel the thump? Wally Marshall, Mr. Crappie here, presenting the all-new Wally Marshall Pro Series and Speed Shooter Rods by Lewes. For more than two decades, I've been designing the best crappie rods on the planet. The Wally Marshall Pro Series crappie rods are built with IM8 blanks, cork handles, stainless steel guides, fast tip, and plenty of backbone. Great for vertical jigging, casting, and trolling for crappie. New for 2020, Wally Marshall Pro Series Rear Seat Crappie Rods by Lewes comes in 10-foot and 11-foot, designed for the crappie fanatics that love to feel the thump in heavy cover. Hey, my favorite technique is shooting docks. Wally Marshall Speed Shooters are designed with an IM8 blank, AVA foam handles, and airwave guides for the perfect shot every time. Speed Shooters come in 5'6" for tight docks, up to 7-foot to get the longest shot. Man, do I love the 7-footer. Hey, be sure to check out all my crappie rods and reels at Lewes.com or MrCrappie.com.
From the deck of your private cabin overlooking the confluence of the famous White and North Fork Rivers at North Fork Resort Trout Dock, you can see crystal clear running waters that hold one of the world's greatest populations of rainbow and brown trout. In fact, this is the home of world record trout. You might be distracted, though, by the beautiful rolling Ozark Mountains that hold you during your stay. Just up the road a few miles is incredible bass fishing for largemouth, smallmouth, and spots. You'll find the best guides in the business at North Fork Resort, and your boat is just a short walk from your cabin. Your guide will find a gravel shoal perfect for preparing a hot shore lunch with fresh caught trout and all the trimmings. You'll think about a nap after lunch, but there's more fish to catch and river to explore before retiring to your fully furnished riverside hideaway. Sound good? Of course it does. North Fork Resort Trout Dock in North Fork, Arkansas.
NorfolkResort.com.
I want to urge you to plan what will be the trip of a lifetime to Argentina. Hunt doves or ducks with my friends at Cordoba Doves. Lane Balky is the U.S. representative, and he's right here in Dallas-Fort Worth. Call him at 817-797-9020. Like me, you can plan your next trip of a lifetime with Lane Balky and Cordoba Doves.
We pick you up at the airport, and you're in our care, custody, and control. All meals, all drinks, all eats are included in the package.
Lane is a hunter himself, and when he describes that first morning that you'll witness in the field, it raises the hairs on the back of your neck.
The first morning, the fly-off of the roost in the morning is spectacular. Birds almost as far as you can see, and they fly like that all day until sunset.
Come on, let's go to Argentina. It's closer than you think. Visit CordobaDoves.com or give Lane a call, 817-797-9020.
My name is Jose Grasso, the owner of JJ Cacheria. Can see me in Argentina.
Camp House has lots of room. Come on in. This is the Dallas Safari Club's Big Billy Kinder Outdoors.
Guns, fabulous hunting opportunities, art, outdoor gear, and clothing spread out over the entire Dallas Convention Center. The DSC Convention and Expo is January 9 through 12 in Dallas. BigGame.org.
Two guys that have looked at thousands and thousands of deer in their lifetime and with a skilled eye could look at a white-tailed deer and tell us how old that rascal is. We're my late friend Ray Sasser and my good friend Larry Wysoon. If you'd like to manage the deer on the property that you hunt, knowing how to properly age that buck or that doe is a big deal. Here's what Ray Sasser had to say about it. He wrote this column in the Dallas Morning News years ago.
Afternoon shadows were long when the 9-point buck stepped out of the brush within shooting range of the Central Texas Tower Blind. My wife, Emily, was the designated hitter, but it was my job to evaluate the deer and give her the green light. We were looking for management bucks. On the ranch we were hunting, a management buck is at least 3 years old with subpar antlers. The 9-pointer fit the bill, but I was really hoping for an older buck. As daylight faded, the deer started walking down a faint ranch road. I gave Emily the go-ahead, and she eased her rifle into position and began tracking the buck through her scope, just waiting for him to stop and present a stationary target. That's when I noticed a second buck that had just stepped out into the road from behind a bush. I glanced at the second deer and noted his spindly 8-point rack and just assumed, without a critical look, that he was very young. The two bucks were walking toward one another on a collision course when the 9-pointer left the road and cautiously circled around the other buck. "Shoot the 8-pointer," I whispered, and my wife shifted her attention, performed her duties admirably, and dropped the buck where he stood. An examination of his teeth revealed the deer was 5 years old and about as sorry a specimen as an adult whitetail gets on this particular ranch. He was an ideal buck to remove for management purposes, but I might not have determined his age had I not spent hundreds of hours hunting, photographing, and watching how whitetails interact with one another. The 9-pointer gave ground to the 8-pointer because the 8-pointer was older and had established dominance in the whitetail pecking order. Why is it important that a hunter be able to age live deer at maximum rifle range? Because most bucks don't reach their full antler growth potential until they're at least 5 years old. Depending on range condition or whether the deer receive supplemental feed, their antlers may peak at age 6, 7, or even older. It seems a shame to shoot an outstanding young buck before he has a chance to reach his full potential, and likewise, before he has a chance to spread his superior genes through the deer herd. It seems equally shameful to take a young, outstanding buck and leave an older, unimpressive buck to do the breeding. That's why so much emphasis is placed on being able to determine a live buck's age, and you can't ask them to see their driver's license. Having hunted white-tailed deer from the Canadian River to the Rio Grande, I can say without reservation that deer look different in different regions, and their appearances may even differ from one ranch to the next. The same buck even looks different at different times of the year. When ranch conditions are good, the deer are in excellent shape, and they look older. They look younger after the breeding season when they're run down from chasing does. The best educational tool for judging deer antlers or aging bucks is a video camera. It functions quietly, and you can replay the video for knowledgeable hunting partners and debate each buck. Here are four clues to use in field judging the age of a white-tailed buck. The first is body shape. Young bucks have immature bodies that are shaped like does. They have delicate facial features, slender torsos, and legs that appear long and slender. This is true of yearling bucks and two-year-old deer. They start filling out by age three. Even at four, their backs remain a straight line. At age five, bucks are fully mature, and both their stomachs and their backs will sag slightly. From now on, the deer's legs appear too short for its body. Another clue is head and neck. Young bucks have tight skins on their faces. Only in full maturity, which is age six and older, will the deer's skin sag under its chin, like the skin of a mature person. Bucks begin exhibiting the swollen bodybuilder-looking neck at about age four, and a muscular neck should be very apparent in a five-year-old deer. The swollen neck results from rubbing antlers against trees and brush. Elevated testosterone levels contributed to the swollen neck. Fully mature buck often develops a distinctly Roman nose. The patchy forehead gland on a mature buck appears thicker and darker than on a young buck. Now you look at the tarsal glands. These are the glands inside each hind leg at the knee. They're barely noticeable in bucks younger than three, but become bigger and darker as the deer matures. Darkly stained tarsal glands are a particularly good indicator of age during the breeding season, which begins in October in Central and East Texas. In West Texas, the breeding season occurs in November with a Thanksgiving peak. South Texas has the state's latest breeding season, late November through December. Finally, you look at social interactions. Young deer will usually give way to an older deer. Fight may break out if a buck relocates to a new area, which frequently occurs during the breeding season, but dominance is generally well established among bucks that know one another. Dominant bucks will go out of their way to make subordinate bucks give ground to them. They may walk 100 yards out of their way just to make another buck back down. The dominant buck often does not have the biggest antlers, but he's usually the eldest and often outweighs a younger rival. You'll notice that I never mentioned antler size in my aging clues, yet antler size is the only assessment most hunters ever consider.
How true it is. Ray Sasser on aging white-tailed deer. We'll get a biologist's perspective from Larry Weiss soon, a little bit later on in the show. Right now, though, let's head for the Camp House Kitchen and Master Chef John Bonnell. One of the greatest joys of hunting wild game is serving wild game on the table. When you do, you want to make sure that it is delicious as well as nutritious. Because they're not accustomed to it, didn't grow up with it, a lot of people turn their nose up to wild game, venison. So, John, what can we do with our venison to make everybody happy?
Well, I'll tell you, one of my favorite go-tos to make everybody comfortable with venison, because a lot of people have a, you know, preconceived misconception that venison is a little weird. I like to go with a hamburger. You can't go wrong with burgers. Kids love them. You don't have to announce to everybody that it's venison right off the bat even. To make a venison burger taste good, the first thing you need to do is cut it a little bit with something that's got a little fat to it, because your venison is going to be 100% lean. So about 20 to 30% needs to be a nice fatty pork shoulder. Cut your venison into cubes, cut your pork into cubes, grind it all together, season it well with things like granulated onion, granulated garlic, plenty of salt and pepper, a little Dijon mustard, and you got the makings of a great burger that anybody can like.
That sounds awesome. Surprises me, though, that you're mixing your fat in from pork, not beef.
You know, beef will work also, but pork is easier, cheaper, and it just always tastes great. There's nothing wrong with pork fat.
No, there's really not. Okay, let's take another deer. We're out in camp. We're roughing it for 8 or 10 days. We shoot that little doe for camp meat. What's a good, easy camp recipe over the fire?
The first thing I like to do with a deer is pull those back straps out and cut them thin, maybe half-inch medallions. Get rid of any silver skin, any fat. Just 100% lean, get your fire as hot as you can get it, whether it's a grill or a cast iron, really hot, and just barely kiss it on both sides. You want to season it well with salt and pepper, give it a nice sear on both sides. Don't go past medium rare, and you are golden. If you get it cooked too much, it's going to be dry, it's going to be overly flavorful and just not the best piece of meat. Medium rare, hot kissed on both sides. Can't go wrong.
You know, I guess that is the number one, from camp to camp to camp that I visit, the number one flaw with folks cooking wild game is leave it on the fire too long.
That's right. And people worry that, well, I just want to make sure it's safe. If you harvested it, you cleaned it, you know there's not a problem. Most of the safety issues with meat come from packing plants, not from hunters in camp.
When you visit Dallas-Fort Worth, you need to see my friend John Bonnell and sit down and have dinner with him.
Absolutely. You can see us at Bonnell's Fine Texas Cuisine. That's where we have as many wild game specials as we can. And we also have Waters, Bonnell's Coastal Cuisine. That's my seafood joint with all kinds of fresh oysters and fresh catch of the day.
Hey, everybody. It's Dominic Zamito with Two Rivers Fly Shop in North Fork, Arkansas. When I'm not in the great outdoors, I'm sure thinking about it with Big Billy Kinder Outdoors. Billy, are you sinking? It looks like you've got a heck of a hole in your waders there.
Isn't it time to check that South Dakota pheasant hunt off of your bucket list? Isn't it about time to step back in time to a simpler era when the cackle of a mature rooster is followed by the smell of smoke from your barrel and maybe a chuckle or two from your buddies after that oh-so-close miss? Spring Creek Hunting and Fishing Resort just north of Pierce, South Dakota is that place in time where taking good care of our guests is the priority every day, year after year. At Spring Creek, South Dakota, we know that a warm and welcome lakeside cabin with private bath and big screen TV is just what you need after enjoying our 35,000 plus acres of pheasant country. When you come stay with us at Spring Creek Fishing and Hunting Resort, you can expect the best pheasant hunting that South Dakota has to offer, along with the best bed, the best steak, and the best time of your life. Talk to us about private charter jet service and come see us at springcreeksd.com. Teske's Outdoors is located just west of Weatherford on the south side of I-20, and we are a must-stop for gift ideas with the outdoorsman or woman in your life in mind. With thousands of guns from top names like Smith & Wesson, Browning, and Beretta, we have a huge selection of pistols, rifles, and shotguns, the perfect fit for your outdoor passions. Plus, everything you'll need in the world of ammo, optics, gun cleaning, and storage. And a full line of clothing for the hunter or fisher in the family. From Sitka, Under Armour, The North Face, Patagonia, Kool, Free Fly, Howler, and Ariat. And we can help you call in everything from elk to turkeys with top-of-the-line names like Primos. At Teske's Outdoors, we even teach hunter safety and CHL classes. Shop us online from any place at teskesoutdoors.com. That's T-E-S-K-E-Y-S outdoors.com. Teske's Outdoors is right on Interstate 20, just west of Weatherford. National outdoor writer Ken Kirkaby knows of what he writes.
I think I probably hunted in just about every western state. And I fly fished in a lot of those places.
He's fished the waters, walked the land, and harvested the game that makes him authentic.
That's where the basis of that comes from. I wanted to make this really authentic, and I wanted people to identify with it. Guys like you and I have a real hard time finding good stuff to read, because it's written by guys that just don't know what the heck they're writing about. And guys like you and I, we read two pages and we say, hey, that's phony. This is not the way it is.
Ever since The Old Man and the Sea, fishing novels have been scarce on the horizon. That was until national outdoor writer Ken Kirkaby wrote his Blue Water classic, The Tournament. Chuck Winchler of Sporting Classics says you can read The Tournament in about the time it takes to catch a big marlin. And every moment will be just as fun, just as exciting. Jennifer Mayhall of Paradise This Week says, The Tournament reels you into the world of sport fishing and doesn't let you go. The Tournament by Ken Kirkaby. Get it on Amazon.
The Vineyards Campground and Cabins has time and again been recognized nationally as a safe, clean, fun, and, well, perfect family destination. With all new full hookup 50-amp pedestals, pull-through sites, lightning-fast Wi-Fi and cable TV at every site, the Vineyards Campground in Grapevine, Texas will become a regular travel stop for you. Bring the whole family and enjoy our beautiful group pavilion, private swim beach and boat ramp, stand-up paddle boards, well-stocked camp store, and the friendliest staff that you'll find as you travel in your RV or bus. We're located on the shore of beautiful Graymont Lake, and you'd never guess that we're right in the middle of Dallas-Fort Worth. Just outside the gated entry at the Vineyards, enjoy the charm of Main Street with exclusive shopping and delicious dining. Don't have an RV? No worries! Come stay at the Vineyard's fully furnished cabins. We can't wait to see you, so make your reservation now at vineyardscampground.com. See you soon.
Hop in the truck. Half the fun is just getting there. Big Billy Kinder Outdoors, presented by the Dallas Safari Club.
Heritage is the name of the 2020 DSC Convention and Expo, with endless aisles of outdoor gear and opportunities. Come join the family fun January 9 through 12. BigGame.org.
Hey, I have Chris Davis on that Big Billy Kinder Outdoors trot line. Chris is the Chief of Support Services at the Texas Parks and Wildlife Department. And Chris, welcome to the show. Good to have you. I know that our wardens in Texas, you and some other folks, have been involved in working with conservation officers in South Africa on a really special project. It really intrigued me when I heard about this. Tell us what you guys have going on.
So we're trying to start a professional development and a leadership growth exchange program. You know, our link is to South Africa is through Henny Bolshank, who's currently a Texas game warden and a lieutenant instructor at our training center, but he's formerly a ranger for South African National Parks. And Henny has been the inspiration for this project. Is he's had the opportunity to gain perspective, you know, from both groups and recognize where a relationship would be beneficial. Our goal is to learn from each other's unique challenges and to provide professional growth and leadership development through cross-pollination and new perspectives gained by working and partnering with outside groups that can help each other.
Now, is this Texas exclusively, or are there other states involved in this right now?
You know, there's different programs, but for right now, this particular project is just between Texas and the South African National Parks, but certainly part of the program. You know, we hope this serves as kind of a model for other agencies to do the same thing.
Absolutely. I can see how it would be further down the road. Now, you, along with other personnel from Texas Parks and Wildlife Department, have actually been to South Africa, Kruger National Park, and done some field work there firsthand with those folks. And they're scheduled to come over here in January and see how we do things. And I'm really proud of that as a Texan, because I think we do things pretty doggone good in this state with our wildlife. Tell me about your experience. Was this your first trip to South Africa?
Definitely my first trip. It was an incredible experience. Five of us went. We had our canine supervisor, our investigation supervisor, of course, Henny went, and myself and our rural operations group supervisor. And so we went and traveled throughout the park and met with their section chiefs, discussed their challenges and issues and what their strategies to overcome them and what they could need that maybe we could, what they need that we could help them with. And then, the things that they do really well that they can help us with. We went to the scene of a poached rhino and watched how they did that investigation, which was extremely thorough and professional, and, you know, discussed their legal challenges and with prosecution. You know, we went on a snare patrol. We went with, several groups met with several groups throughout the park. Basically, we learned that, you know, a lot of what we're doing, the programs we're doing, parallel each other in many ways, whether it's a training, technology, officer mental and emotional support, peer support programs. Their canine program started in 2012, the same time ours did. And so it was interesting to see, even though we're halfway across the world from each other, you know, we're doing many of the same things because we have many of the same issues.
You know, from a distance, just as a guy who tries to keep up and read a little bit, when you don't know, you just get the impression that maybe in South Africa they're not as advanced technology and with modern practices of law enforcement. But sounds like it's just the opposite. These guys are really sharp.
They really are, and I was super impressed. And, you know, we knew going in with conversations with Henny, you know, not to go in and, you know, and act like we had all the answers for their problems. And, you know, it was a mutual respect and professional relationship. And you know, we really had some in-depth conversations on how we both do things and how we can do them better and for conservation law enforcement today and moving forward. And, you know, it also bring education and awareness to illegal wildlife trafficking, which is, you know, one of the largest, you know, financially the largest illegal activities in the world. I think it ranks in the top three or four. And so, yeah, they're absolutely, you know, look innovative, and, you know, they don't have all the resources we have, but they do what they can in a large rural environment. You know, sometimes technology doesn't work so well, but you don't have connectivity and those kind of things. And so they're still doing a lot of things on the ground, old school ways, but they're also using technology as well.
Yeah. You know, wildlife crime exists wherever wildlife exists. And you're right. It's a multi-billion dollar, I don't want to say business, but that's what it is, business, international wildlife crime, and wildlife crime right in our own home states and counties. But it seems to me like even though wildlife crime exists everywhere, Chris, that over there in South Africa, it's more like guerrilla warfare, because these guys in there poaching those rhino horns, and now lions are a big target, and elephant tusk. They're organized, almost war parties coming in there doing that poaching. It's more like hand-to-hand combat, it seems like.
It sure can be, and it's really a unique situation they're in. You know, those rangers are part conservation officer, part park officer, and part wildlife technician. But, you know, in 2010, when the rhino poaching, you know, really went to an extreme level, they went to pretty much 100% conservation and law enforcement. And so, you know, you have a huge park where there's 1.8 million visitors, you know, going through there. And, you know, like you can imagine, like one of our parks, and you have visitors, but on the edges, in the brush, yeah, there's an absolute war going on. And so it's a really unique environment with a lot of unique challenges.
January, coming up in January, just a couple of months away, officers from and officials from South Africa are going to come visit us in Texas, and you guys will be hosting them. I'm sure you're excited about that.
Absolutely. We're very excited about it. In fact, I just received an email with some confirmation on their attendance. And so we're in the planning stages and looking forward to hosting them and showing them what we do and really introducing them to our training center, which we feel like is, you know, the best training center in the country for not just conservation law enforcement, but law enforcement in general. And that's something they want to look at is building a better program to build a consistent model for training their rangers. And so, you know, we hope to be able to help them with that. And we're certainly looking forward to it.
Down the road, where do you see this going from here? Is this a one-time event and done, or would you personally like to see this move forward and maybe become an annual or semi-annual event?
You know, our goal is for this to be an annual event. You know, we'd like to send people at both a management level and an operator level and a train-the-trainer level on an annual basis to continue this. You know, just for, you know, a few of us to go and build relationships and learn things, you know, that's kind of a temporary solution or temporary benefit. We want this to be long-term, and we want those rangers and our game wardens to have this opportunity to go learn from these you know, new perspectives and meeting new people who do what we do, but halfway across the world and to learn from each other. And so we're hoping we can build on this.
Yeah, I'm tickled to death about it. I was really interested when I read the press release that came out a few days back and knew I wanted to talk to you about this. And I greatly appreciate your time and the detail with which you guys handled your business at the Texas Parks and Wildlife Department.
Absolutely. I'll appreciate the opportunity to visit with you today. Absolutely.
Well, and we'd be remiss, Chris, if we didn't leave this conversation like this. When guys, the gals, when you shoot that deer today and you have success in the field, the first thing you need to do when you walk up to that deer, Chris, is what?
We got to tag it.
That's it. Put a tag on that deer.
got to put a tag on that deer and take some pictures and take the kids out.
There you go. Absolutely. Chris, what a pleasure to talk to you. Have a great deer season, and I look forward to talking to you again.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it. Have a good day.
Hey, everybody. It's professional angler Greg Hackney. And when I'm not in the great outdoors, I'm thinking about it with Big Billy Kinder Outdoors.
hop in the truck. Half the fun is just getting there. Big Billy Kinder Outdoors, presented by the Dallas Safari Club.
A helicopter flies over African bush with the DSC logo on it. When poachers are busted, they can clearly see who caught them. We are the DSC. We are at biggame.org.
Hey, thanks a lot for joining us in the camp house today at Big Billy Kinder Outdoors. This corner of the camp house is brought to you by Purina Pro Plan, the world's greatest dog fuel. Pro Plan Performance Formula. That's what 89% of the field trial champions across North America are fed. Pro Plan Performance. It's at Atwoods Ranch and Home Stores. And Atwoods is in Oklahoma, Kansas, Missouri, Arkansas, and Texas. Hey, they're having a big time down in Florida today. It's a big youth fishing event at the Suncoast Youth Conservation Pier. They're dedicating that pier today. It's brand new. 500 youth and their families are enjoying a free day of fishing to help celebrate the dedication of this new wheelchair-accessible boardwalk and fishing pier, Apollo Beach, Florida. As a part of this big day, each kiddo will receive a free rod and reel and tackle, too, courtesy of our friends at Pure Fishing, Plano Synergy, throwing in a lot of cool stuff, too, and more than a dozen NFL players have committed to provide participants with fishing assistance throughout the day today. Y'all have fun. Enjoy your day there on that brand new fishing pier at the Suncoast Youth Conservation Center, Apollo Beach, Florida. Randy Ulmer is bragging on his Easton arrows, and he should be. The Outdoor Wire reported this week that Randy recently added another 200-inch white-tailed brute to his long list of big deer. You add up the inches, and that means he's harvested over 5,000 inches of mule deer mass, all with Easton arrows, bows, products. Randy Ulmer has harvested over 20 deer that scored over 200 inches in his career. He spent the whole summer scouting this giant buck. His photo is at bbkoradio.com. Just down the road from me in Mansfield, Texas, are the folks at Cellmark Brands, and one of those brands is Pulsar. Marcus Dryack lives and hunts in his native Nebraska. He's a Pulsar customer. He has a Pulsar Trail XP50 rifle scope, and he was on his way home from a hunt the other day when, on a beautiful night, the windows were down and he thought he heard a faint cry for help. He was scanning in the darkness of night but couldn't see anything when, again, he heard that cry for help. Well, he pulled over and turned on his Trail XP50 thermal scope and found him about 30 yards from the road. A crashed vehicle, and through his thermal, he was able to see that three people were trapped inside. 45 minutes later, the firemen and the jaws of life freed those three. They all went to the hospital, and police later told Marcus that had it not been for his thermal, one of the passengers wouldn't have made it through the night. A near tragedy in Minnesota the other day as well. Alec Stark and his duck hunting buddies had been out having a fine day, but the weather changed on them, so they packed their decoys, put away their guns, and started back towards the boat ramp. The sky was spitting snow and the wind was howling, and it whipped the lake's surface into a frenzy. Rather than cross the lake, they decided to stick closer to the shore, and even though they did that, their 16-foot boat took on water. It quickly became clear if they were going to make it to the shore, it would not be in that boat. They threw the decoys overboard, hoping to use them as a float, and then jumped in the cold water, kicking hard for the shore. It was a decision they'd made earlier that day to wear their life jackets that saved their lives. Stark, who was also wearing waterproof waders, flipped onto his back when he hit the water and started for shore. As soon as the water was shallow enough for him to stand, he used his cell phone and called 911, and all four hunters with hypothermia were grateful for that waiting ambulance. Preparation and safety first is why Alex Stark and his buddies will duck hunt again. Neil Horton resigned this week from his role as president of the IGFA, the International Game Fish Association. Seems like just a few weeks ago I interviewed him when he took the job. That was September of 2017. He stayed there a couple of years and made an impact while he was there, I'm told.
modernizing the organization's business operations, and implementing a new strategic plan. The IGFA Board of Trustees will meet in January and vote to determine the future leadership of the organization. I love all of the small-town fall festivals and Christmas festivals that are such a treat this time of year. Tickets will go on sale Monday for the 25th annual Christmas dinner at Fort Robinson State Park, Nebraska. It's a big deal. The event will be on December 7th, and it'll be like stepping back in time to 1878. That's an important year in the fort's history. Only 200 tickets are sold to this event every year. And the annual Christmas dinner, oh, it's a highlight. The meal will take place in Fort Robinson's Buffalo Soldiers Barracks. And it will be the same menu that was served in those barracks in 1878. They'll have turkey and stuffing and potatoes and gravy, pork loin, asparagus, sweet potatoes. Of course, you got to have the rolls and all the fixings. And everyone there will be dressed in 1878 attire. Fort Robinson's annual Christmas dinner. Tickets for this event, like I said, sell out very quickly, and they'll be available at 8 a.m. Central this coming Monday.
Hi, I'm champion waterfowl caller Eric Guggenheim. When I'm not in the great outdoors, I'm thinking about the Big Billy Kinder Outdoors.
This is Jim Shockey.
I'm Craig Boddington.
This is Jim Zumbo.
Join me, Mr. Whitetail, Larry Wyson, at the Dallas Safari Club Convention and Expo. I look forward to shaking your hand there this January.
With a who's who lineup on stage to answer your questions, surrounded by more than 1,800 exhibits featuring outdoor apparel and gear, artwork, jewelers, custom guns and knives, the finest licensed guides and DSC-approved outfitters from around the globe, free seminars, and world-class banquets with celebrity guests and speakers, DSC's Convention and Expo, January 9th through the 12th, is a must-see for outdoors men and women. The whole family will love the incredible taxidermy displays, and the auctions are the biggest and best, built specifically for the outdoors enthusiast. The best part, your ticket cost, the auction bid, the money spent at DSC's Convention and Expo will be spent wisely on conservation matters at home and around the globe. Please come to DSC's Convention and Expo at the K. Bailey Hutchison Convention Center in Dallas, January 9th through the 12th. Learn more at biggame.org.
As I travel the nation on great hunting and fishing adventures, I find true treasures along the trail, places that are a must stop every time we pass through. One of those places is the Buffalo Gold Herdware Store in Goodnight, Texas. This is the only place on earth that features all things buffalo. Historical artwork featuring the West and, of course, the bison. Jewelry collections from Santa Fe's Turquoise Moon, Native Bay, and many more. Handmade Damascus steel knives, including the newly designed steak knife collection. On my most recent stop at Buffalo Gold in the Texas Panhandle, I bought an extremely comfortable pair of buffalo hide boots and another pair of buffalo wool socks. The socks, hats, gloves, and beanies are the softest and warmest that I've ever owned, and trust me, I've been through them all. Usable and unique. The Buffalo Gold Herdware Store is on Highway 287, just 40 miles southeast of Amarillo. A short drive and worth the trip from Oklahoma, New Mexico, and Colorado. And for folks further away, shop them online at buffalogold.net.
It is the dream of the animal rights fanatics to suppress your most natural connection to the earth, to sell you a life filled with urban fascinations, to ignore that death is life's unwavering partner, together creating a relationship between predator and prey that makes it possible for us all to survive. To the hunter, this world's most honest steward, these fantasies are the poisonous, perverted manipulations of social misfits who would take this planet hostage. They should startle you and awaken you to trust the hunter in your blood.
The Moore family at Southwestern Parts and Service in Dallas has been specializing in fishing reel repair since 1970. Early on, fishermen nationwide recognized that Southwestern Parts and Service was dependable, honest, and very good at what they do. With the largest fishing reel parts inventory in the U.S. and even some inventory for obsolete and discontinued models. Yes, Grandpa's old reel sitting on the metal can go back to work again. Southwestern Parts is recognized by folks like Shimano, Abu Garcia, Daiwa, Penn, and Zebco Quantum as an authorized warranty center. And labor on fishing reels is $19.95 plus parts on most models, and that includes cleaning and lubrication. And with six full-time reel techs, Southwestern Parts and Service strives to get your equipment back into your hands quickly. Is your local reel shop having trouble finding parts for repair? We can help. Come see us at www.fishingreelrepair.com. That's fishingreelrepair.com. 214-630-8161. We do work for customers worldwide, and we can help you too.
From the rough brush of South Texas to the thick bush of South Africa, it's Big Billy Kender Outdoors, presented by the Dallas Safari Club.
Incredible auctions every day await you in person and online at the DSC Convention and Expo, January 9 through 12. Details at biggame.org.
I hunt in Jack County, Texas quite a bit. I'm going to be doing that later today. And then I'm going to wrap up the day at the Chamber Chili Fest and Outdoor Expo outside on the square. It's going to be a beautiful night for that. Great night for a hot cup of chili and a perfect pie contest. There'll be vendors there. If you guys are hunting around Jack County, Texas, come on down to the square tonight. Enjoy the Expo and Chili Fest. It's all free. The tasting starts at 7 o'clock. Live entertainment before that, 6. See you on the square in downtown Jacksboro, Texas, tonight. One of these days, I'm going to show up on my friend Chris Simmons' front porch, and I'm going to have my turkey gun in my hand, and I'm going to sit down with him in those beautiful woods of Maine that he lives in and kill one of those big old gobblers. I wish I were there right now because it's a beautiful time to be in Maine. You guys probably recognize my friend Chris Simmons from Northwoods Law. Chris, good to have you back on the show. It is always a pleasure.
As well, Billy. It's always a pleasure as well, and enjoy talking to you folks on the other side of the country here.
It's fall in Maine, and I'm just guessing that it's right now is the most beautiful time of year up there for me. The fall color, are things just spectacular?
They are. We're actually beyond peak right now. Peak was actually a couple weeks ago, but the colors where I live, I'm looking out across the valley right now, we have probably a 30-mile view from my house. And things are starting to darken up a little bit. The leaves are definitely falling. But we're starting to, our fall rains are starting up here. But if you want to see the colors, you're probably at the point where you better hold off till next year. But the good fall weather's here now. I'm looking at the thermometer at my house right now, and it's 40 degrees. It's a little raw today, but
a little bit.
Yeah, time to start burning a little firewood, I guess. So.
There you go. Absolutely. Picturesque part of the world. I've always wanted to get up in your country in the fall. I've not yet done that, but it's on my bucket list. And with fall come the hunting seasons, and you guys do something really, really cool in the state of Maine. You have for your deer hunting opportunities, moose hunting opportunities, and various opportunities seasons, you have resident only days, and it might only be a day or two, but you carve out some days when you have a state hunt where your local residents get to enjoy it before we outsiders come in. I think that's really cool.
So actually today is the first day of the, it's the first day of the firearm season. So for a white-tailed deer, and that is only for residents today. So all hunters that we check today are residents. If you are a non-resident, we check you today. That's not good for you. So, we do run into the early bird once in a while, but it's traditionally always been the first day of firearm season in Maine is for the residents only.
And that is a tremendous tradition. I really like that. Let's talk about moose just a little bit, because everyone that hunts, I'm sure, would love to take in a fall in the great state of Maine and get their hands on one of those coveted moose tags. They're really hard to come by, but not only for non-residents, but for residents as well. Your biologists there come up with a quota every year, and that's needed and good conservation. What are the odds that we might get drawn someday for a moose tag, Chris?
Well, believe it or not, the non-resident chance is as good as it is for a resident, and that's simply because less people put in for it. So the amount of that they give the non-residents, your percentages, it pretty much runs the same as it does for a resident. However, you know, with the amount of permits, and it always ranges, sometimes it's down in the 2,000, sometimes it makes it nearly 4,000, depending on the winter prior and the moose populations, but it's not always, you know, it's not a great chance of getting it. However, it's a worthwhile chance to put for putting in. You know, it's worth it if you get it. However, we do have a point system, so every year you don't get it, you get your preference points, and the longer you put in for it, the better chance you stand of getting a permit.
Yep, there you go. So I better get started. It's time for me to get started, get my first preference point.
It is time for you to get started, Billy, because there's a few of us around that would love to take you on the hunt and show you where to go. So, but we're going to be around forever. So
that would be a dream come true to go hunt moose with you up in your beautiful state of Maine. Have you heard any success stories? Now, you guys have had, a couple of bull seasons so far, and you're wrapping up the first week of cow season this week. Any good success stories that you've heard?
Yeah, that is correct. The first 2 weeks, the first week is in September. That's a bull only. And that it's always a successful week. That's when they're right in the rut, and calling works well to get a bull. That's the preferred method to kill a moose. The second week of bull season was the week before last, always Columbus Day weekend. And that's always a tough week, because they'll still respond, but most of the bulls have already cowed up, so it's hard to pull them away from a cow already. But if you're good, you can do it. So the success is usually fairly well still on that week. But this week is a cow-only season. Yeah, you can only kill cows, and it ends today. Everything's always a week-long season, the three seasons. And what they do is they will, the cows that they kill, they'll take different parts and pieces from organs from the cow to study. The biologist will study the parts and pieces for the biological data. So.
Gotcha. Okay. Has word trickled through the grapevine of any big moose coming in this fall? Any good ones?
There was. There's always. You're not seeing the size, the bulk that you did years ago. You know, you don't see the numbers of bulls that we used to see. However, they always get some big ones. I did hear of one that possibly hit 1,000 pounds. Nothing's been verified yet. I did hear of one massive moose up around the Greenville area, and it sounds like that might have made 1,000 pounds. A lot of your decent bulls are 750 to 900-ish. That's a really good bull. Once in a while, we still get them over 1,000 pounds.
Wow. I was talking to my good friend Larry Wysoon a few weeks ago, biologist, and he's had the opportunity to hunt moose in Maine on at least one occasion in his life, and was talking about how spectacular it was and what a great place to hunt. And he said, it's really funny though, Billy, he said they measure everything up there in pounds. Somebody will kill a really good deer and they'll say, yeah, this deer weighed 200 pounds. And down here, you know, it's all about antlers. Oh, he was an 8-point. He was a 12. He'll go 160 inches. All in inches, but it's all pounds. You measure success by pounds in Maine.
We do, and that is something that we learned when we came to Texas. And again, as well, meeting with Larry when we were down there, and Billy Shoemaker, who passed this year, he was quite a hunter from Texas. They did the same thing, and they always just say, you guys, they call us backwards, but that's the way we do it in Maine. It's usually by pounds. Well, obviously, we like the big racks, and when you get into those big bucks that will, for 200 pounds, if you kill a 200-pound buck up here, you can become a member of the Maine Big Buck Club. And that's all based on weight. However, you know, but then they still have your Boone and Crockett. You have your Boone and Crockett, and that's obviously based on your antler. So, but moose is the same way. A few years back, my daughter killed a 920-pound bull and had a 57-inch spread on it, which when they do get to be massive like that, you do care about the antler as well. Well, you always care about the antler, but most people say, well, how much did it weigh? You know, and that's the big thing up here is the weight.
That's interesting. Hey, Chris, if you don't mind, hang on. Grab yourself another cup of coffee and hang on with me for just a couple of minutes, and we're going to wrap up our conversation. Plus, biologist Larry Wysoon will be here with us to age deer properly. He's going to teach us how. And then later, Ray Sasser is rattling up a big old buck.
Hi, this is Walt Garrison. And you know, when I'm not in the great outdoors, I'm thinking about it. With Big Billy Kinder Outdoors.
When it's time to consider a taxidermist, look carefully at the choices. The skill level of the artist that you choose will be a visible reminder of your decision from now on. Let me recommend my taxidermist, Roy Holdridge at True Life Taxidermy in Granbury, Texas. Roy does work for people from across North America and beyond. They insist on True Life Taxidermy in Granbury because of the incredible ability that Roy and his team have in bringing your memory to life. Realistic detail. Painstaking precision on your birds, fish, and wild game. With a 10,000-foot studio filled with award-winning artists and nearly three decades of full-time taxidermy work himself, Roy and True Life Granbury can customize your trophy in a unique and high-quality style. Please view his online portfolio at truelifetaxidermy.org, and I think you'll see why True Life Taxidermy in Granbury has been my taxidermist for the past 25 years. Wild game processing available also. TrueLifeTaxidermy.org.
At Cornerstone Bible Church in Roanoke, Texas, we embrace the gospel of Jesus Christ. We are affiliated with no denomination but champion God's word only. We have a very active children's ministry, and we are a safe and secure place to hear God's word and learn about His great love for us, even though we are all great sinners. I'm John Watson, and I want to invite you and your family to church on Litzy Road in Roanoke, Texas, and on the web at csbiblechurch.org.
This is Travis Mears with Defender Outdoors, Clay Sports Ranch, Forest's new premier shotgun range. Located on West Loop 820, we are minutes from anywhere in the West of Plex. Clay Sports Ranch offers two different 12-station sporting clay courses, archery, the largest 5-stand in DFW, and a spacious event pavilion with seating for over 200. Inside the pro shop, we offer a wide variety of hunting and competitive shotguns for sale and rent, along with all the gear and shells that you may need for your next outing. Open to the public or with a membership, a good time with friends, family, or colleagues is easy to find. Find all the details at defenderoutdoors.com, and we look forward to seeing you at the ranch.
You know, as bird hunters and bird dog owners, we've seen our wild bird hunting opportunities dwindle in recent years. And if you, like me, don't want to kennel your bird dog in the spring just to let him hibernate till fall, then you should take a long look at the world's largest field trial organization, the National Shoot to Retrieve Association, or NASTRA. This was the very idea of NASTRA's founding fathers back in the 1960s. They wanted to extend time in the field with the dogs that they loved. And it must have been a pretty good idea, because over the years, many thousands of men, women, teens, and families have enjoyed participating in NASTRA field trials. All pointing breeds are welcome, and there's no need to be intimidated. NASTRA sponsors over 1,000 field trials across the U.S. and Canada each year. It's at these trials where your dog can earn his NASTRA championship, qualify for entry into your regional championship, and NASTRA's 5 national championships. Take a look at our website, nstra.org, and consider visiting a local trial. We look forward to meeting you. Walleye and smallmouth bass are two entirely different critters. Walleye are a delicate, flaky delight on your plate. Smallmouth intend to shred the gears in your fishing reel. You can enjoy a snack while slowly drifting along beautiful Lake Oahe, South Dakota, in search of delicious walleye. The smallmouth is a different story, as multiple 3 to 5 pounders are pursuing your lure with intent to destroy at all times. At Spring Creek Resort and Deepwater Marina, north of Pierce, South Dakota, we know where the fine neighborhoods are that house the distinguished walleye. We also know our way around the rough neighborhoods of Oahe's smallmouth district. Come fish with us. We'll put you up in our lakeside cabins and feed you like royalty in a Spring Creek Resort restaurant and bar.
step out of your car, and into Spring Creek Hospitality. The toughest decisions that you'll have are walleyes or smallies, and do I really have to go back home? SpringCreekSD.com, home to the 2018 Bassmaster Elite Series.
The Dallas Ecological Foundation is now the Outdoors Tomorrow Foundation, or OTF. Hi, I'm Scott McClure with the OTF, and I wanted to let you know that aside from the name change, we are the same organization, a 501c3, doing the same important work for the future of American youth in the hunting, fishing, and shooting sports. The Outdoors Tomorrow Foundation is the wheel that keeps outdoor adventures moving in our schools. Outdoor Adventures is in hundreds of schools across America, teaching kids in junior highs and high schools great things like archery, boating safety, camping, and hunting. It's a legitimate part of the school curriculum. Outdoor Adventures is a PE course for kids that just don't have an interest in school or athletics or team sports. They're not involved. The life lessons learned and the lives that light up when learning these outdoor skills are real, and the stories are fantastic. The Outdoors Tomorrow Foundation is opening new insights to youth through public schools. If you'd like to donate or see Outdoor Adventures in your local school, the first step is to visit our website, DallasEcologicalFoundation.org.
Looking at a 12 with a 10-inch drop time. Y'all go on inside. The whole Dallas Safari Club bunch is in there with Big Billy Kinder Outdoors.
Three buses loaded with kids and parents roll down the highway just like thousands before them have done, all at the invite of the DSC to learn the legacy of the outdoors. Be a part of this at biggame.org.
Phone number here in the camp house at Big Billy Kinder Outdoors is 1-877-820-BBKO. We love to hear from you. 1-877-820-2256. The camp house website, bbkoradio.com. Always changing and updating. Make it a regular stop when you're traveling around the web. bbkoradio.com. I want to jump back on that Big Billy Kinder Outdoors trot line now. Finish our conversation up in Maine with my buddy Chris Simmons. Chris is a longtime warden in the state of Maine, wildlife officer, and a well-known face from Northwoods Law TV. Chris, talk to me a little bit about that, because you guys were one of the pioneers in this Wardens on TV programming that we've all gotten so accustomed to now, and those cameras have moved on to Texas and now New Hampshire. Television cameras in the warden's truck. Was that a good idea, looking back on it?
It is neat, and, you know, none of us, well, I shouldn't say none of us. Most of us don't consider ourselves celebrities. However, it has worked out so much for the benefit, for the positive. People now get to see, you know, and it's a problem that was all around the country. A lot of people don't know what game wardens did. They thought we snuck around the woods all day long and that's all we did. But when they see the things that we're involved in now, which fish and game is actually only a part of what we do, and, you know, with the modern world, with the amount of drugs that are out there, that consumes so much of our time. And obviously we're always there to assist other agencies when with different crimes. But we're, yeah, fish and game. But what's nice about it is the public has a totally better understanding now of what we do on a day-to-day basis. And that was the biggest, most positive thing that we ever got out of that show, is the public now has a better understanding of what we do.
Has there been any conversation about bringing Maine back to our television? I miss seeing you guys. I used to say, hey, there's my buddy Chris, you know?
Yeah, there is talk about it. Whether it will happen or not, that's way above me. But there is definitely talk about it. We heard rumor a few months ago that they would like to come back, but nothing really, because they're still active. They're still filming in New Hampshire right now. So if we ever did come back here in Maine, it wouldn't be while they were still filming in New Hampshire.
Sure, you bet. Well, Chris, I'm really jealous of you this time of year and the beautiful, beautiful place that you live. And I know that you you also have a private, I believe it's a commercial business where you sell maple. Is that right? Harvest and sell maple?
We do. We have a, it's actually called Simmons and Daughters Sugar House. So Oh, it's been a while now. It's been probably 10 years where we've actually been commercial, where we produce maple syrup, and it started out, it still is. My daughters, I've got four daughters, and my wife and I, we live on it's a farm I grew up on, 300-acre farm here in Maine, which doesn't sound big for Texas, but in Maine, it's a pretty good chunk of land, 300 acres. And we've got a lot of maples, and we started producing syrup commercially here back a while, and my daughters, they're growing up, but they still find a way to all be back here to help in the springtime, and I think it's going to be my retirement, Billy.
there you go.
Yeah, and as of the other day, I've now got a granddaughter. I wouldn't know what to do with a boy in the family. I had all daughters, and then my daughter, I got my first grandchild, which is a girl, so now I don't know if it will be Simmons' daughters and granddaughters or what we'll call it. But
hey, congratulations, Chris. That's great news.
So if you're ever playing around on the internet, Simmons and Daughters is who we are, and you'll see what our chunk of land looks like up here.
Absolutely, you bet. And hey, order up. You know, down here in Texas, we have mesquite trees. Not much you can harvest from a mesquite tree. They make good cooking wood, but we wouldn't know a maple tree if we saw it. So you Texans, get online and order some of Chris's wonderful maple syrup out of the great state of Maine.
I'd love to see some of the Texans down there come up and see our part of the world. For us to come to Texas, it was quite a treat. You know, it's a different part of the world from everything, the landscape, the wildlife, the rules that goes with it. But if you want to see something decent, you got to come up to the Northeast and see our part of the world. The fall is absolutely beautiful. If you want to just come see the countryside, obviously we have summertime, but around that first week of October, it is absolutely beautiful with the foliage. But I really would. It'd be as much of a treat for you folks to come see us as it was for us to come see Texas. And it's just a different part of the world, but a different beauty is what it is.
As I said earlier, it's on my bucket list. I'm going to come see you. You first piqued my interest when you said you had turkeys on your place. So some spring, I'm going to knock on your door, Chris.
Well, we got room for you, Billy. And if you come, you are hunting right here on our farm. We've got a turkey for you.
Chris, always a pleasure to talk to you. Have a wonderful holiday season with your brand new granddaughter.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate that.
My friend Chris Simmons from his farm up in Maine, a warden, conservation officer with the Inland Fisheries and Wildlife Department in Maine, and a pretty good fella. I sure like him. Another guy that I enjoy spending time with is my buddy Larry Wysoon. And on this opening day of the Texas whitetail season, Larry, I know it's a question you get pounded with, but I'm about to pound you with it again. What are you looking at when you're aging a whitetail deer?
The very first thing I do is just try to forget about the antlers for just a little bit to where I can have a look at that body conformation, the neck, and the amount of skin around that deer's face and along the front of his brisket. Generally, young deer, like a year and a half, 2.5 year old deer, their neck is not going to be swelled hardly at all. They're going to have straight lines on their bottom line, meaning along their belly, straight line across the top. Antlers, yeah, but don't look at those. Forget about them for just a little bit. But generally, if he's got no neck at all to speak of, he's a year and a half. At a 2.5, he's probably going to have a little bit of neck. At 3.5, that neck is going to start swelling past the points of the jaw, meaning the lower jaw and out just a little bit. Very tight skin, again, still very straight line top and bottom. By the time he gets 4.5, his neck's going to be a little bit bigger. It's going to be a little bit of loose skin, but generally with our Texas deer, too, our bucks mature at 4.5, so that means after that point, anything that's not needed for maintenance can be channeled into antler development. Then you're going to start seeing a little bit bigger bucks. But also, if you look at the tarsal glands, right, at the hocks on the back, generally our 4-year-old deer and older will have real dark tarsal glands come the rut. I mean, that's when they're starting to get really, really active. At 5.5, they're going to start looking about like, imagine a 50-year-old person, I mean, with a bigger neck. The skin's going to be a little bit looser about the face, the neck's going to be real square on the front, that muscle that runs all the way through, a little bit of pot belly, a little bit of sway, and then from there you just kind of go on. It gets into a worse situation where it gets a little bit more sway, a little bit more pot belly, a little bit more loose skin. But to me, the two hardest deer to distinguish sometimes is a 3.5 and a 7.5, because it seemed like at a 7.5-year-old deer, he slims the neck back down to about a 3-year-old deer. It seemed like his skin tightens up a little bit, but generally he's going to be a little bit more pot-bellied than a 3-year-old deer. And then when you get to those older deer, most people never get to see what an 8-year-old deer looks like anyway, but he's going to look like an old man.
So if you see a 7.5-year-old deer and you're having trouble determining if he's 7.5 or 3.5, just keep an eye on him a while. If he's watching the Andy Griffith Show, he's 7.5, right?
Yeah, particularly if he laughs at some of the jokes, I'm sure that's exactly right.
My good friend Larry Wysoon is a wildlife biologist. He's the host of DSC's Trailing the Hunter's Moon TV, an accomplished outdoor writer, a papaw, and a pretty good old boy. Meet him at the Dallas Safari Club Convention and Expo January 9 through 12 in downtown Dallas. My old friend Ray Sasser is going to help us rattle up a buck. Have you ever rattled up a deer? About to learn how when I come back from the coffee pot.
I'm Larry Potterfield with Midway USA. And when I'm not in the great outdoors, I'm always thinking about it with Big Billy Kinder Outdoors.
As I travel the nation on great hunting and fishing adventures, I find true treasures along the trail. Places that are a must stop every time we pass through. One of those places is the Buffalo Gold Herdware Store in Goodnight, Texas. This is the only place on earth that features all things buffalo. Historical artwork featuring the West and, of course, the bison. Jewelry collections from Santa Fe's Turquoise Moon, Native Bay, and many more. Handmade Damascus steel knives, including the newly designed steak knife collection. On my most recent stop at Buffalo Gold in the Texas Panhandle, I bought an extremely comfortable pair of buffalo hide boots and another pair of buffalo wool socks. The socks, hats, gloves, and beanies are the softest and warmest that I've ever owned, and trust me, I've been through them all. Usable and unique. The Buffalo Gold Herdware Store is on Highway 287, just 40 miles southeast of Amarillo. A short drive and worth the trip from Oklahoma, New Mexico, and Colorado. And for folks further away, shop them online at buffalogold.net.
The Vineyards Campground and Cabins has time and again been recognized nationally as a safe, clean, fun, and, well, perfect family destination. With all new full hookup 50-amp pedestals, pull-through sites, lightning-fast Wi-Fi and cable TV at every site, the Vineyards Campground in Grapevine, Texas will become a regular travel stop for you. Bring the whole family and enjoy our beautiful group pavilion, private swim beach and boat ramp, stand-up paddle boards, well-stocked camp store, and the friendliest staff that you'll find as you travel in your RV or bus. We're located on the shore of beautiful Grapevine Lake, and you'd never guess that we're right in the middle of Dallas-Fort Worth. Just outside the gated entry at the Vineyards, enjoy the charm of Main Street with exclusive shopping and delicious dining. Don't have an RV? No worries. Come stay at the Vineyards' fully furnished cabins. We can't wait to see you, so make your reservation now at vineyardscampground.com. See you soon.
There's a place I love to go in the pristine Texas Hill Country that features first-class lodging, outstanding cuisine, world-class wing shooting, the best free-range access deer hunting in the world, my favorite, by the way, plus native whitetails and turkey, and some of the most comfortable hosts that you've ever enjoyed. Don't forget to throw in the fly rod. You'll want to experience the crystal clear waters of Joshua Creek and the Guadalupe River. Rolling hills and Texas live oaks, friendly smiles, and spring-fed waters. Orvis and Beretta agree that Joshua Creek is one of the finest hunting and shooting ranches in existence, and I think you will too. You won't find a prettier place to get married. And our staff and facilities will make your corporate event, family reunion, or private party turnkey and the best you'll ever experience. Joshua Creek Ranch in the historic Texas Hill Country between San Antonio and Fredericksburg. Want to go? Of course you do. JoshuaCreek.com. When you serve up that white-tailed deer to your friends and family, I promise you, they're going to think you're feeding them beef if you had that animal processed at Cinnamon Creek Wild Game Processing.
We know what to take away from the deer to make it the very best, and That meaning get rid of all the blood that's on it, all the fat that's on it, and it's hard to season raw meat, and that's what we're really, really good at. Our bacon-wrapped fillets are probably the greatest thing that's ever happened to a wild game piece of meat that's out there, and it doesn't matter what it is. You could serve it to anybody and they'll say, wow, that's a great fillet, but it's wild game. Because the way we season them, and then we cry vac them, vacuum seal them, and then let them sit, and then we put them in the freezer. So the spices get to work on the meat for a little bit. If you'll cook them just like a regular fillet, you know, like medium rare or rare, it's perfect. I mean, it's, you can't tell the difference.
CCR, wildgameprocessing.com.
You're in good conservation company with the Dallas Safari Club and Big Billy Kender Outdoors.
If you enjoy a topwater plug bubbling over quiet water or the first glimpse of a sunrise from a frosty deer blind, then you are the DSC too. BigGame.org.
Hey, I want to wish you good luck today, and boy, we really want to see pictures. If you would, please send us one. BBKORadio.com makes it really easy to upload your photos to the bragging board from your phone, your handheld, your laptop, your device, your iPad, whatever. BBKORadio.com. By the way, when you get to the deer blind and you cozy up in there, put the earbuds in and catch a podcast. We've got a ton of two-hour podcasts. All of our back shows are waiting for you there, as well as all the websites that carry popular podcasts, places like Spotify, Stitcher, Podbean, Google Play Music, iTunes, Apple Music. Tell them you want a free download of Big Billy Kender Outdoors, and it'll come to your device absolutely free every week. I never hit the deer woods without taking the rattling horns along. You never know what's going to happen or what phase that one particular buck is in. A guy that was one of the best at rattling up bucks was my friend Ray Sasser. He and I had a conversation about rattling deer a few years back.
Well, it works some places, you know, and the truth is it doesn't work everywhere. And it doesn't work where you've got way too many does and not nearly enough bucks, because there's more does than I can get to anyway. Why would they fight over them?
Well, that's like spring turkey hunting. You're not going to get that hung up Tom that's already got his hands over there to turn loose and come to your call. And same thing with this.
No, you're right. You're right. And Bill, I think probably the American Indians probably were the first people to actually make a deer fight sound and get a deer to come to them. Mm. But the guy who popularized it was Bob Ramsey. And Bob Ramsey used to be for a while he was a Parks and Wildlife biologist. And then he married into a ranching family, I think, and became a rancher. And when the Wild Ranch started seriously commercially hunting in the 50s, they brought a bunch of writers in from all the different magazines to show them what the country looked like, and they needed somebody to entertain them, and there was nobody better than Bob Ramsey, because Bob always told a great story anyway, and so they brought all these guys in, and Bob took them out and rattled up all these deer for them, and they went back and wrote all the stories about them, and that's where deer rattling all over the country became popular, and then everybody tried it and couldn't do it because they didn't have the right ratio, or they weren't trying it at the right time, and they didn't, everybody kind of gets off of it before it really works for them.
Huh. Well, let's talk about your technique and how you go about it a little bit. Does this A only work during the rut?
Well, it actually works better just pre-rut, just before the rut, and maybe at the tail end of the rut when the bucks are still looking, but there aren't any does.
Okay.
Because they'll come to a fight that time of the year. My technique is kind of like Bob Ramsey. I talked to Bob about this one time, and he said you got to get a sneer on your face and make your left hand try to overpower your right hand, and I've always taken him at that, and a lot of people, you know, they're trying to be subtle about it and start real slow, and my idea is let's make a bunch of noise.
Right.
You know, if I can hear, it's the same theory I have about fishing. Let's throw it out there a bunch of times and cover a lot of ground, and maybe we'll find an aggressive one.
Right.
You know,
right.
It's that way about rattling. Now I've got these particular rattling horns, which are the best I've ever had from a guy who had a bunch of shed horns. He had a big pile of shed horns. I just went through. These aren't from the same deer, you can tell.
Yeah.
They're both right antlered horns.
Yeah.
And by using two right antlered horns, I can keep from hurting myself too bad when I'm clashing them together.
Right.
And then I went through the shed pile, and I found this one that was broken up here where I can make a kind of interesting noise with it.
Right.
And so you just, the best thing to do is, of course, set up where you can see downwind, because most of the time, if a deer comes to a fight, he's gonna try to circle and get the wind on you.
Yeah.
He can usually tell who's fighting, you know, and if it's somebody he doesn't want to deal with, he just goes on.
Right.
You know, so you just get where you can see pretty good. You make sounds like fighting deer, and you can't make too much noise. You can't, when two 150-pound wild deer try to kill each other, it's a brutal thing.
My friend Ray Sasser, one of the best at rattling up white-tailed bucks. Hey, we've got a little time left on the show today, so let's head up to the great state of Minnesota. Tom Dockin standing by there. He's a pro-plan man like me. He feeds 30% protein, 20% fat, Purina Pro-Plan Performance Formula to his hard-working bird dogs. And today, he's talking about helping our dogs out when that water gets really, really cold.
Hey, Billy, good to be back on the show today. We're going to be talking about something that you need to get prepared for if you have a retrieving dog, or you have a dog that's going to be retrieving in the water in late fall when you're waterfowl hunting, and that's a neoprene vest. You know, any waterfowler, you know, has probably come into this situation, unless you're way down in Florida and you don't deal with this. But I've even been in Louisiana in January, and I've seen ice on the water. And a neoprene vest is an absolute must in my mind. I started using them quite a few years ago, and I know a lot of people way back then thought it's not necessary. These dogs are tough. All you've got to do is look at a dog sitting in that duck blind, shivering, and having a miserable time, and then expecting him to go out and make more retrieves to understand that, hey, you're sitting there with state-of-the-art equipment on you, and your dog is bare-boning it going out there to make those retrieves. Your dog is going to have a lot better time, and he's going to be able to pay attention, and he's going to be a lot calmer in the blind if he's not shivering and trying to keep the cold off. But here's my training tip. If you're going to get your dog a neoprene vest, do not put this vest on him right before opening day or right before you're going to need it, because there is going to be an adjustment time that your dog is going to need to get used to that vest. So what I'm going to do is put that vest on at home, and we're just going to go for a walk. We're just going to let him get used to that thing. Now you're going to see all kinds of reactions. You're going to see dogs flopping on the ground and trying to bite to get it off, rolling it. It's really something very foreign, but you got to go through this process. Every dog does. Once your dog accepts it a little bit, then take your training dummy and throw your training dummy, get some retrieves. That can be done on land. And then also go to the water by all means and do it there. Now keep in mind, in warmer temperatures, you can't do this for any length of time. But you really do have to get your dog comfortable with this before the season starts. And here's a tip that people didn't really think about when they were first using neoprene vests. Up here, it's kind of cold in the early springtime, and even other parts of the country, we're able to get a month of water training in the spring that we didn't get before because the temperatures were colder and we didn't put the dogs in because it was too cold. Now we're using our neoprene vest for spring training. So it's a great training tip, not only for fall, but in the spring. Hey, if you're looking for more training tips like that, you can find them in the Tom Dockin's Retriever Training book, and you can find that at all major retail outlets, or you can go to Dockin's.com and get a book through that too. And don't forget about feeding that dog, especially all year long, the best dog food that you can find, and in my mind, that's Purina Pro Plan. Go with the best.
Yes, sir. Tom Dockin, thank you very much. By the way, if you're looking to have a pup trained, and you want just absolutely the very best hands-on care and training for that dog, I can recommend highly any of our pros here at BBKO Radio. Tom Dockin there in Minnesota, and in the great state of Oklahoma, it's Ronnie Smith. We've talked some about aging white-tailed deer on the show today. You heard Larry Wysoon and Ray Sasser both talking about that. Hopefully you'll leave the show today with a better idea of what you're looking at today when you have your eyes on that white-tail buck in your ranch management program. I'd also refer you to a recent article that Larry wrote for Sporting Classics Daily. simply titled Field Aging Whitetail Deer. You're looking for the October 23rd issue of Sporting Classics Daily if you'd like to read that very thorough article. Hey, I want to thank my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, for the time we've had together today. Thank you for joining me here in this old camp house, too. And I invite you back next time around. Until then, may God bless you and your bunch.